The Lord is good, amen. Hallelujah. I want you to, if you can, I know that most of the folks are already standing. But the rest of you, join us. Let's stand up. Let's lift our hands up.
And hallelujah.
And just a moment. Just lift your hands up. And focus on the Lord for just a minute. No music, no singing. Keep eyes, the Bible says, keep silent before me, O eyes. Just for a minute. Lift your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift your name higher. Praise team, come on. We lift your name
higher.
We lift your name higher.
We lift your name
higher.
We lift your name.
You may be seated. Thank you. Praise team, you may also be seated. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Are you happy in His presence? Amen. It's a good time to be rejoicing in and out of the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to share an exhortation with us. First, I want to make a quick announcement. Towards the end of the service today, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving celebration. It was my wife's birthday yesterday. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. It was also the Agamemnon's 39th wedding anniversary. Praise the Lord. Can you stand up? Let them see you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Very special day. So, you know, we're going to be doing a small family Thanksgiving towards the end. So stay with us. We also have some refreshments in the back. This will be like a takeaway. We're not doing a sit-down, eat kind of thing. You just take it away at the end of the service. And we're going to just praise the Lord. So stay with us through the service. We don't want you to leave early, so you can be a part of that. It'll be at the end. And we're going to give praise to the Lord. But in the meantime, let's hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
While you are seated, I want you to lift up your heads and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and love you because your word always brings light. Anytime that word comes, it sheds light into our situation. And Lord, I pray this morning, as always, the entrance of your word, let it bring light into our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. And let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord as the people receive a blessing in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we love to teach on faith. You know, I love to do that and so forth, because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And Enoch was translated, you know, but before his translation, he had this testimony, you know, that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we love to talk about faith and so forth. And the little faith, you know, the little faith that you use every day, it's the same faith that's going to grow into translated faith. Amen. That's right. You know, you can't just go on the translation if you don't even have little faith for little things, you know. So, you know, we believe God. Remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, and I've started preaching, my message today is energizing your faith through praise. Amen. Amen, somebody. We've preached on different kinds of ways to get your faith going and so on. You know, the Word of God is, of course, the foundation. Any faith that is not based on the Word of God is not valid according to kingdom principles. You know, so we know that. You know, but today you're going to, you know, show how we can energize our faith through praise and worship. You know, so now, you know, faith, you know, the beginning of our journey with the Lord was with faith. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read verses 8 and 9. These verses that, you know, we have here, for by grace are you saved. This is perhaps the earliest, the two scriptures when I first gave my life to the Lord many, many years ago. This scripture and 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. This one and that scripture was the first one that I learned. And we were taught to memorize scripture back in those days. So I learned this one. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's the gift of God. But you see, this faith by which you began that journey, you know, if you've given your life to Christ, you've trusted in him, it was by faith. By faith are you saved through grace. It's that you can't do it any other way. Now, that same faith, from beginning till the end, that faith's got to be with you, not only, you know, for you to receive salvation, but for you to receive anything from the Lord. You know, and all the way up to when we expect the Lord to come for us at the translation. It's the same faith. The faith, you know, but your faith keeps on developing and keeps on increasing. One time the disciples say, increase our faith. The Lord said, well, you know, use what you already got. If you don't use what you got, you know, faith is quite the opposite of your bank account. In your bank account, the more you use, the less you have. Faith is the exact opposite. The more you use, the more you have. Amen. That's right. If you know, so Jesus said, look, use what you already got. If you have faith as little as this mustard seed, you know, you can do great things. But the problem is people won't use their faith, or they would not use their faith according to the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible says he that runs a race, he must run according to the rules. You know, you can't just, you know, I used to be an athlete back in the day. You can't just say, okay, you just run all over the place. You know, for certain kinds of track events, you got to stay in your lane. If you don't stay in your lane, or you pass the baton beyond the, you know, the range and so forth, even though you come first, you'll be disqualified. So if a man, you know, Paul said it best himself, said, look, I don't box the, you know, like somebody that's fighting the air and all that. But, you know, you got to fight according to the rules. You got to fight according to the rules. And the rules of the engagement for faith is one. It's got to be based on the word of God. Amen. You know, and I'm going to read a few scriptures here just to bring this out. And then we're going to show you that sometimes your faith needs a little boost and a little help, you know. And when you're doing something, when you're believing the word of God and you're doing everything, when faith is not, you know, can't get you, need something to get you over that, you know, little hump, you know, the hill or whatever, as they say, you know. So faith can actually become tremendous. You know, if you know how to walk your faith, you know, it can become really powerful. I mean, we've seen people in the Bible that use tremendous faith. You know, one of them was Enoch that we already mentioned. You know, there's not a lot spoken about Enoch, but he has the kind of faith that kept changing him into light. You know, every day, he kept changing into light. And one day when he was completely light, he was gone. Hallelujah. That's the secret, folks, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, and for us to be infused with God, we're going to be changed into light. There's no other way. And if you can be changed to light before the Lord comes, then you'll be gone, just like Enoch. You know, no, people don't have to go. The only way to go is not by death, folks. Amen. That's right. People can be translated. There's going to be a mass translation at the end, but if it pleases the Lord, if you approach that light and get close enough to that light and you come into light, you know, it's like you're transformed into light. You know, if you get there, you might get there before others and boom, you're gone. Be with the Lord. That's right. You know. And, you know, I believe it with all my heart because Enoch was like that. Elijah, he was translated, you know, in the chariots of fire. You know, so we see by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We see those two witnesses there, you know, that God did. He brought those people out of out of the world without seeing death.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And Jesus has tasted death for every man. So, you know, if he pleases the Lord, you know, then, you know, those of us who are alive at his coming, we don't need to taste death because Jesus already tasted death for us. But I tell you something. When you begin to move with that faith, you know, let's see some examples, some other examples of folks who did tremendous things in the Bible. You know, let's look at Joshua chapter 10. And let's read verses 12 to 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. You know, now remember, Joshua, he spoke to the Lord, but it wasn't exactly the Lord, but he was doing something, you know. And he said, in the sight of all Israel, it looked as if he was talking to the Lord, yeah, because he already stood before the Lord and he's walking his faith in the Lord, but he was actually going to speak to the works of God's hands. He's going to speak to the sun. And he's going to speak to the moon, but he's doing it in the name of the Lord. And he said, in the side of, he didn't go to the corner to do it and to say, well, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, he stood in the sight of all Israel. And by that time, nobody ever heard of any such thing. These were trailblazers, folks. You know, they blazed the trail. Even folks, people, things have never done. I mean, things people had never done, they did it. He said, and said, you know, to the sun. Verse 12. Go back to verse 12. He said and said to the sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13. And when he said that, the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now he says, is this not written in the book of Joshua? The sun stood in the midst of heaven and hasted not down about the whole day. Verse 14. And he said, and there was no day like that before and after it, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man as he fought for Israel. Well, you know, in the eyes of the Lord, this was even a greater miracle than the parting of the Red Sea because of this thing that the Lord said right here, you know. And because the Lord said, look, you know, after this or before that, no, nothing like this. This man, he just stood there. And he commanded the son, that's it. You stay right there. I got some unfinished business. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the sun was going to go down and it was going to get dark and they wouldn't see very clearly. So, you know, he bought a little extra time for the armies of Israel, you know, when they were fighting against their enemies. So the Lord, you know, he can honor a man's faith. You know, when your faith gets that powerful, you can do great things, you know. But there are many ways that faith works. You know, Jesus, he talked about, you know, the whole chapter of Matthew 13, well, most of it is about parables of the kingdom. And there are many things that he talked about there, you know. And let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Let's look at an example of something that, you know, starts out really small, you know. He says, look, he put forth a parable unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Next verse. Which indeed is the least of all the seeds. It's the smallest seed, you know. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, and the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So something that sounds out really small, like the faith when you believe God. Somebody preached to you and said, you know, this is the way of salvation. And Jesus is that one that was promised. And you believe the Lord. And they gave you a simple solution. They said, you know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you know, and believe also that God raised him from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth, that you shall be saved, just like it says in Romans 10, you know, and then you believed it, and you were saved. But you didn't know too much about what faith means and so forth. You know, that little faith, that little grain of mustard seed in you. But as you begin to walk that faith, it begins to grow into something really magnificent. Amen. Amen. And if you keep walking that faith, one of these days, praise the Lord, you know, you're going to the Bible. Remember, the Bible says, you know, unto them that love is appearing. You know, it's people who that are actually looking for him. If you're not looking for the Lord or anything, you might miss his coming. Unto them that love is appearing, shall he appear the second time without sin. You know, he's going to come this time, no death, no sin, and everything's going to take us off. Amen. Now, let's look at this. You know, I want to talk about, you know, some of the things, you know, how you can use your faith, you know, and so forth, and how, you know, sometimes when you're using your faith, you may meet roadblocks. But when you meet roadblocks, there are some things that you can do. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about one thing first, then I'm going to switch it a little bit and talk about something else. There's a story here in the book of Luke chapter 5. If you want to turn with me, I'm just going to paraphrase the story because, you know, I don't have time on account of what I want to do later on. But in the book of Luke chapter 5, there's a story, you know, of there's a place where the Lord was in there, and he said, look, you know, they were there. And so this is Luke chapter 5, you know. And, you know, let me start from about verse 17. The story is in about verse 17, you know, and so forth. And it goes through about verse 26. That's the story. You can read it. But I'm not going to read all of it. You know, but the one I want to bring is this. This story right here, these people, Jesus was in a certain place. And in verse 17, the last verse, it said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. You know, on that particular day, just like anywhere that Jesus is, the power of the Lord is present to heal, just like today. Amen. If you are here and you need anything from the Lord, the power of the Lord, if you believe it in your heart, the Lord can heal you right where you're sitting. Amen. Now, so when Jesus was there and the people have heard of his fame from everywhere, you know, and there were a group of folks, you know, that had a friend or a family friend, brother friend, I don't know. But anyway, they brought a man sick of the palsy on his bed and they wanted to get to Jesus. But they met an obstacle on the way. You know, the place was so crowded, you know, they couldn't even get through the door. That's the story. You can read all of it yourself. Here's what it says, verse 19. And when they could not find, you know, by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, you know, they tried to get in the door. They couldn't get in there. You know, everybody's pushing in, trying to get to Jesus and so forth. Now, some folks would have just given up and gone home, you know, and so on. You know, so, but what did these folks do? They did not give up. The Bible said they went up on the housetop. I don't know how long it took them to scale up there and pull the guy up. You know, they weren't planning on doing that. So they had to figure it out quickly. They had to think on their feet, you know, get some rope, find a way to get up there, pull the guy up and so forth, tear up the roof. My goodness. Tear up the roof of somebody else's house, you know. I mean, these guys are desperate. But they're not going to let anything stop them. They're going to get that miracle. Amen. Amen, somebody. There are some times that your faith are going to meet challenges and obstacles. But what are you going to do? Are you going to just give up? Are you just going to cower in? Or are you just going to fold your arms and say, well, you know, that's it, you know, and all that. I've touched on messages like this before on roadblocks and so on, you know, but what are you going to do? You know, the way that you increase your faith, I'm talking about how to energize your faith today, although I'm talking about how to energize it through praise. I will come to that in a minute. But there are many ways by which you energize your faith. One of the ways that you energize your faith is to not back down in the face of what seems like a roadblock. Amen. Amen. I don't know if the church is with me today. Amen. Do not back down in what seems like it's in the face of a roadblock. These people didn't back down. They could not get through the house. They went up in the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, hallelujah, listen to verse 20. When Jesus, you know, when he saw their faith, it wasn't exactly faith of the man that couldn't speak. It wasn't the faith of the man that was paralyzed. It was the faith of his friends or his companions or whoever brought him. Jesus saw their faith, not exactly his faith. He saw their faith and he said, wow. You know, he turned around and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Amen. Of course, they challenged the Lord and said, why? You know, in their hearts, this man blasphemed. You can't forgive sin. Only God can do that. Well, if they only knew who was standing right there. Amen. That's right. That was the Son of God right there. And he said, well, when he knew their hearts, which one do you think is easier? Rise up or your sins are forgiven. It's a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven because nothing happens. People don't know whether it happened or not. But if you tell somebody rise up and they don't rise up, everybody's going to think you don't have any power. You know, so Jesus said, well, that you may know that the Son of Man has power now to forgive sin. Turn into the sick of the palsy, rise up and take up that bed. Amen. And the man immediately, and I love that, you know, immediately he was made whole. You know, so this is how you can energize your faith. Don't let anything stop you. One more verse on that before I move on to the other thing. Psalms 18. And let me look at verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. Now, is that your testimony? Can you run through troops? Can you leap over walls? You know, again, this is the way that you energize your faith. You don't let the roadblock, you don't let the thing that's in front of you stop you. You're either going to, there's a song I say, climb every mountain. You're either going to climb the mountain, run around it, bulldoze it, get over it, do whatever, find another way, but you're not going to let it keep you back. Amen. You know, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know, you can be going down, and they do this all the time, especially here in Arizona in the summertime. You're going there, they're constructing, they're doing road construction and all these things. And if you're going down there and you see a roadblock, you know, a roadblock is something that is put there as a blockage to your passage. They don't want you to pass, so they block it. Sometimes the roadblock, most of the time, is for construction. Sometimes it's for other people's safety. But let's assume it's for whatever it is, you know, and you're trying to get through somewhere, and there's a roadblock. Generally, they put a sign of a detour, you know. But even if they don't put a sign, you know, if you're headed to the airport to catch a plane or whatever or something, you have an appointment, you know, and you see that roadblock, you turn back and you go home, then you're already defeated. You already missed your purpose. But, you know, most people don't do that. They'll find a way. They will look for a detour. They take another route or do something. They're not going to let that roadblock keep them from going to where they're going. Amen. But when it comes to spiritual things or some other things, people don't know that these are things that you practice every day. You go through roadblocks every day. You don't let roadblock keep you back. You find another way. People do this all the time. Why is it that then when you are faced with some other challenges, you know, you seem to give up and fold your arms? No, don't fold your arms. Find another way. Amen. You know, if you can't get through the door, go through the roof. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, these people, they couldn't get through the door, they went through the roof. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you another way. And this is the one that I want to, this is how I'm going to close this message out. This is the turbo charge. This is how you turbocharge your faith. You know, now, when you're believing God for something, you know, you have to believe based on the word of God. Especially if you find a promise in the word of God. We've talked about that before. You find a promise first and all that, you know. And then we're doing everything. Sometimes you need extra help. And your praise and your worship is the thing that can get you over that little extra hump or extra hill that you need. Amen. So let's look at an example or certain examples here in the Bible. And I've preached on this from time to time. But I just want to bring it into this message. This one's not going to be a long message, just an exhortation. You know, the message that I really wanted to preach because of today. You know, I moved it on maybe next week or whatever. But I just brought this short exhortation here because I can't do justice to anything else in such a short time. You know, so let's put this here. You know, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you know the story of Jehoshaphat. You know, when they were faced, you know, they were faced with all kinds of things. They had Mount Seir, they had Moab, you know, they had all their enemies, three of them were, you know, three troops were against them, you know, and they were believing God, you know, but they were like, well, we can't go up against these folks, you know, we have no power against them and all that. But the word of the Lord came to them and made them to, you know, strengthen them and said, look, don't worry about, you know, Ammon or Mount Seir or Moab. Don't worry about them, you know. He said, the Lord will fight for you. Amen. You know, so that was the word of encouragement that came to them. You know, you have to read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you know, starting from verses 21 to 22. See the thing that happened there, you know. But if you read all that, so we've preached on that chapter many times. I don't want to, you know, read all of it. You know, but, you know, as they were believing God, when God, it seemed as if they couldn't really make it, but the word of the Lord came to encourage them. And here is what Jehoshaphat said. Let's pick up the story from there. Yes. So verse 20 or 21. It says, well, let me read it from verse 20. I'll just read three verses. Verses 20 to about 22. And when they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, you've heard the message also on that, the wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Barakah. You can listen to that. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets." And one of the prophets just spoke a word of encouragement to them. And Jehoshaphat was telling them, believe, you know, and that's how you're going to prosper, you know. But here is the real part of the story. The punchline for today's message is in verse 21. When he had consulted, or starts at verse 21, when he had consulted with the people, he had appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. Then, you know, as they went out before the army, you know, so we've pointed that out numerous times, you know, this is something you just don't do, you know. You don't go into battle and take tambourines and, you know, music stuff and all that. You put the generals, you put the commanders, you put those people who are skilled, you put the SEAL team, if you want to call it that. You put those people in there, you know, and so on, you know, the Delta team and so on. You know, that's the one you put there. Those people who know how to do black ops, you know, you put them in there. You don't go put singers in the front, you know. But Jehoshaphat, he did exactly the opposite. You know, when he had consulted with the people, found the best people that knew how to praise the Lord and make the beauty of holiness great, and they knew how the singers and everything, he gathered all those people and said, "You go in front of the army, amen." You know, and that's the sometimes you need to do that when you are believing God. You know, Jehoshaphat was believing God based on what, you know, the Ahaziel already said, that the prophecy that he said, the Lord's going to fight for you. And so you're believing the promise of God. But you don't necessarily need to wait before you start praising the Lord. This man didn't wait. You know, he started to praise. He started to give, you know, glory to God. And he put all the singers and all the, you know, people that knew how to make the beauty of holiness great, he put them before the Lord. And he asked them to begin to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." I mean, and the army, you know, the other folks are looking at them, they're like, "You got to be kidding me." It's kind of like, you know, what was that name? Goliath, giant. He was looking at David. He said, "You got to be kidding me. You're coming with me with a staff and so forth. What am I? Am I a dog?" They said, "Well, you said it, you know." So they're looking at him. What do these people think we're doing? Are we here for a party? Why are they singing? But they're just praising the Lord and giving glory to God. And that's how you boost your faith. You know, remember, Jehoshaphat, he said, you know, we can't go up against these people, but our eyes are upon you. Now, we cannot go up in our strength, but our eyes are upon you. Now, that's the beginning of your miracle. You put your eyes upon the promise of the Lord. But then, to supercharge your faith, you get into praise and you get into worship. Now, if you read this story, go back a few verses, I rushed through this and so forth, but if you go back through a few verses, after that prophecy came that night, you know, and the Lord said unto them, "In the morning you go out to meet them," and so forth. And I, you know, I've often wondered, you know, sometimes the Lord will say, you know, tomorrow rather than today, you know. And so that's what the Lord said in this place, you know. He said, "Ye shall not need to fight," verse 17. "Set yourselves, you know, and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, and be not dismayed." Tomorrow. He didn't say today, tomorrow, you know. Why did he say tomorrow? Why not right now? Why not just go out right now? Tomorrow. Because today, the Lord's going to give you an opportunity to worship and to praise the Lord. You know, now don't just jump into anything. Worship and praise the Lord, you know. And so Jehoshaphat, verse 18, when he heard this, he bowed down his head to the face to the ground, you know, and all that. And they worshiped the Lord, you know. And when he worshiped, because he believed the word of God, but he worshiped, you know, for the word of God. You know, when the word of God comes to your heart, you need to worship and you need to thank God. And how do you motivate that word? You put it into action by praising the Lord. Amen. And that's exactly what they did. They put that into action by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Thanking him for what he has already done. Praising him for the victories ahead. Thanking him as though you already have that thing in your hand. Now remember, faith, Hebrews 11 and 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, you know. So that's the evidence, that's the guarantee. You know, you say, "Well, why are you?" The evidence, you already got it. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. But you got the evidence, If you have faith, it's just good as done. But if sometimes if that faith's not working just right, go on to praising the Lord. Amen. When you praise the Lord, you know, Holy Ghost will break those prison doors like they did in Acts chapter 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. You know, they were not gloomy and say, well, why are we stuck in this place and so forth? They sang praises and they prayed, you know. And, you know, they had faith. They believed God. But the faith wasn't busting them out of that prison. It was their praises that busted them out of that prison. Hallelujah. You know, so sometimes, you know, you have faith and all that. You know, God will move for you. But if you combine that faith, it's a dynamic duo. You know, when you take faith and you take praise and worship and you combine them together, it's incredible. You know, it's like a dynamo of power that will spring forth for you and work miracles on your behalf. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Today, I want to encourage you to use your faith. You know, in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, they did all these things. They went through, they used their faith all over the place and all that. They worshiped the Lord, they praised the Lord, and they also used their faith. You know, in the last days, God gave a prophecy in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. You know, this is something, you know, that's been missing. But God said, I'm going to restore it in the last days. In the last days, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Well, one thing that's associated with David is praising the Lord. Amen. Praising the Lord. And the Lord said, I will raise up. I will restore, you know, that culture of praise, which is broken down. You know, it's broken down. It's closed, you know, it's broken down. People have forgotten about it. But I will restore it. I will close up the breaches there. And I will raise up the ruins. And I'll bring again the foundation of praise. I will bring again the spirit of worship. Hallelujah. As in the days of old, God is going to do it. Now, if you know how to walk that praise like David did, then you can win a lot of battles. You can use your faith and combine it with praising the Lord, and you can accomplish a great deal more than by your faith alone. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. Not too long of an exhortation there. You know, we just wanted to make it brief. I'm going to pray for you or pray with you. And I'm going to challenge you. Begin to practice this. Every opportunity you get, you praise the Lord. You know, do it at home. Do it in the shower. Do it while you're driving. Do it when you are in the church. Wherever you are, you praise the Lord. You know, praising will get things done quicker. You know, and the Holy Spirit will even move, you know. Many people have experienced a moving of the Spirit when they are praising the Lord. You know, when you're praising the Lord, just worship and praise, and you're just lost in the Spirit, that's when the Holy Ghost speaks, you know. So, you know, praising the Lord, even for battles that seem to be insurmountable, but for mountains that you cannot, you know, you just seem like you can't get around the problem, you know. First of all, I've told you, don't be discouraged. Find a way around it. But, you know, sometimes you need even more help. When you're trying everything and it doesn't seem to work, switch the gear to faith. Amen. It's like switching to overdrive, you know. When you drive, you're driving some of those, you know, cars that are really fast, you know. Sometimes you want to really go fast, you got to switch to overdrive. Now, praise and worship is that overdrive of the Spirit that takes your faith into a new dimension. Amen. Let me say that for you again. Praise and worship is the overdrive of the Spirit that takes your faith into a new dimension. Raise up your hands and let's pray. Hallelujah. Don't pray for more faith. You already have faith. Use what you already got. Amen. Use it. Use it daily. But use it in praising the Lord. Don't stand there and say, well, I can't do that. Who says that you can't do it? The devil. You know, you believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then mingle it with praises. And let's see what the Lord is going to do. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, every hand lifted up in praise. Hallelujah. Just praise the name of the Lord. Take a minute and praise him. Zero in on something that you want the Lord to do for you. And take a moment to praise the Lord. And in a minute, we're going to switch the service to thanksgiving and rejoicing and praising the Lord. You know, while you're rejoicing with us, we want you to also use it to praise the Lord for your own circumstance. Whatever it is that you want God to do for you, you know, you can thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's already done, but praise him for what he's yet to do. That's how praise works. You give thanks for what God has already done, but you are praising him ahead for what he's yet to do. Will you tell him, Lord, I know that there is no one that can say with a right hand like you. Will you begin to tell him how great he is? Will you tell him that, I know, Lord, that you walk upon the thunders. I know, Lord, that you walk in the cloud. I know that you ride upon the heavens by your name, Jah. I know that you are the great king and there is none that can stand before you. When you begin to praise him like that, read all of Psalm 18. When you begin to do that, my goodness. You know, Bible said that, you know, David, he had power with God. When he was praising God like that, God stood up and blasted with his nostrils. And he came down and rent everything. Hallelujah. You know, when you know how to praise God like that, God will stand up on your behalf. Praise God. God stood up on their behalf. And all those Mount Seir and Moab and Ammon, they begin to kill themselves. A began to kill, fight against B, you know. After A destroyed B, then A and C fought against each, you know. I mean, A and B fought against C, they destroyed C, then they faced each other. Something like that. They wiped themselves out, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't worry about your enemies. You just praise the Lord. Lord will take care of them. The Lord will take care of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we thank you. We love you. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Do you love him? Do you love him? Has he been good to you? I mean, 1,000 falling on your side and 10,000 on your right hand? You know, he hasn't come near you. Can you give the Lord some praise in the house here this morning? Can somebody give the Lord some praise in the house here this morning? Has the Lord made it a year of differentiation for you? Kept you without having all those sickness and disease and the pestilence and the plague that's going on around? Has he kept your family? Has he kept you safe? Somebody give the Lord some praise in the house here. Give the Lord some praise in the house. Give the Lord some praise in the house. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for the victories that are ahead. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that are already done. And we praise you. We praise your holy name for great things that are coming our way. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.